Welcome to Let's Talk. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners across the country where the program is broadcast, particularly the local traditional owners, the Jagera, Yagera, Turrbal and Yugrupul peoples, the Yugambeh, Mananjali, Combermere, Noonuckle and Quandamooka peoples. I'd also like to acknowledge elders, elders of the First Peoples of the land and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners tuned in across the country via the National Indigenous Radio Service and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. Well, today it's a discussion about men's health and how the film Mad Bastards, which is a film released last year, or was it earlier this year? It's recently released, in the last 12 months or so. And how that film Mad Bastards is being used by men's groups and to look at men's health issues and to help promote men's health. And I've got Jack Bullman from Mibimbar on the line today. Jack, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning, Tiger. How are you, mate?
Very well, very well. And I've got the director of Mad Bastards, Brendan Fletcher. Brendan, how are you today?
Really good, thanks, Tiger. Good to be here.
Yes, it's certainly good to have you on board. I think Mark Wenatong might be with us. Is Mark there? No Mark yet? All right. We'll try and get him
Dr.
on board.
Dr. Mark could be anywhere.
Yeah, I was talking to him a while ago. He is available for a chat, so we'll bring him along. Bring him along soon. But, Jack, again, tell us your mob, your country.
Yeah,
it's a bit noisy there. Is that your line, Jack? No, it's not. Well, you're right. You're quiet.
I'm on the mobile, so...
You're fine. No, it's Brendan's line. A bit of traffic around him, it sounds like.
Okay.
No worries.
Yeah. Mate, first of all, I'd just like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of of the peoples where we're talking today, and pay respect to the elders, past and present. My mob is Muddy Muddy Mob from southwestern New South Wales, down in Balranal. That's my nan's country.
All right. Where'd you grow up?
Yeah, sorry, brother. I grew up in Melbourne. I spent a lot of time in Melbourne down there with that mob down there in Kulin Nation. So,
all right. And now you're based on the Gold Coast?
Based on the Gold Coast for the last 6 years, brother, working for Mibimbar, which we help create safe spaces for our fellows right around Australia. So working with men's groups and men right around Australia.
All right. Very good. Brendan Fletcher, tell us a little about yourself. Where'd you grow up? Where's home?
I grew up in Sydney. I'm a Sydney boy, really. Kind of grew up on the beaches of Sydney's northern suburbs. And I suppose what really changed my life was heading up to the Kimberley, which I did to work with the Pigram brothers in about the mid-90s.
What were you doing then to engage with the Pigram brothers, to work with them? What were you doing? What was your skills base?
I'm a filmmaker, Tiger. So at that time I was doing a lot of music videos for bands. And I'd done a few... I was sort of starting out, really, and I was really keen to... I'd always wanted to get up to Broome, up to the Kimberley. And, in fact, it was the sort of the opportunity of a lifetime for me when I was just, as a young fella, ringing up all different bands and sort of saying, you know, are you guys looking for a video? And it just worked out that the Piggies, who, of course, before that were called Scrap Metal, had just... kind of released their first album as the Pigram Brothers, called Saltwater Country. And they didn't have a big budget or anything. They didn't really have any money, but they said, look, you know, we can't really pay you, Brendan, but we really like what you're doing and we like your vibe, but we could take you fishing. And having grown up, you know, on the beaches, I was a bit of a keen fisherman, so that sounded like a pretty good deal to me. So I went up there and spent, about a month to sort of really fishing with the boys and camping and sort of just being introduced to the country, I suppose. And that was kind of the beginning of really a whole new way of me looking at my own country and my life and, you know, myself as an Australian and being introduced. You know, I'd done some work with Aboriginal people over the years. I'm a white fella, but I'd always had been, I suppose I'd always had a yearning to connect with, you know, with Aboriginal people and to work with Aboriginal people. And my uncle Frank Fletcher, who was a priest in Erskineville, in the inner city of Sydney, you know, he was sort of one of the fellows that set up the Aboriginal Catholic ministry. And, you know, I'd sort of met a lot of black fellows through Uncle Frank. So, yeah, I suppose all those things kind of added up. To me, really connecting with the Piggy mob and the Kimberley mob, and then we started making a lot of firstly music videos, and then music documentaries, and then short films, and after about 5 or 10 years, we thought, well, let's make a big film. So we ended up making a film called Mad Bastards.
So that was like it was a few years in the making, the idea of it, or putting it, piecing it together, Mad Bastards.
Yeah, it took a long time. I mean, we first started talking about that around 2002, 2003. And then, you know, all we knew at that point was that it was going to be a film about a man on a journey of transformation. And we knew it was going to be kind of a tough film in a way, in terms of it being very real. We didn't want it to be sort of a Hollywood story, if you know what I mean. We wanted it to sort of hit a chord. But we also knew that we didn't want Ernie Dingo and Deb Mailman and, you know, like the big star actors. I mean, they're all great actors and I hope one day to work with them, but we wanted it to be kind of real people who'd lived those lives actually acting the story. So, and I suppose what happened there, Tiger, is that we'd been making these documentaries and so forth up in the Kimberley, and so many times we'd just come across these fantastic characters who would just tell a fantastic story around the fire, and they'd start acting it out, you know.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Like that, you know? There's a couple of them in every community.
Oh, dead set, you know. And I just thought, well, I haven't seen this captured on you know, in the cinema. I mean, we've all seen plenty of documentaries like that where you see some good, strong men and so forth and great characters and that. But actually to flip that to the movie scale and put them on the big screen, I thought, I haven't really seen that. And that's something that I felt would honour those people and their stories. So look, that was a great idea, but it took a long time for that to actually come to life because... you know, acting is a whole different thing into itself, and writing a movie script is, you know, a 90-minute story takes a long time to get that all working, and we had to raise a lot of money and all that sort of stuff. So we finally shot the film 2009, 2010, and it was released last year around Australia, and I think we were up there in your studio there, Tiger, last
yes.
year doing a launch in Brizzy, and we went to Sundance and China and Ireland and the Czech Republic, and the film, you know, the film won a lot of awards and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, around about that time, you know, I started to get in touch with people like Jack there, who sort of said, look, this film is more than just a movie. It's we can really use this, you know.
Yes, no, certainly it was an amazing film. The way the film was made by not using established actors was certainly a great move, a great decision, because that Hollywood stuff is acting, whereas our mob are living it, you know. And
That's
to
it.
Be able to project that, to capture that on film and project that onto the screens and things is really the challenge, I suppose, and Mad Bastards certainly did it. I think another film, there are probably a few others made by our mob, certainly Samson and Delilah.
Is
another one that comes to mind, you know, that steps outside the bounds or outside the norms of filmmaking, is just...
Tumula. Do you see that film Tumula? That did it very well, Ivan Sen's film.
Ivan Sen, yes, another one. Yep, no, so it's really good to see First Nations filmmakers and yourself engaging with First Nations communities and actually achieving that objective, and that's taking these real-life characters out of community and capturing that on film. It's really fantastic. So it worked well with Mad Bastards, and I still like to sit down and watch it. I've watched it half a dozen times and still want to watch it every time we get the opportunity. It's a good one. Let's take a break for a song, and we'll get hold of Dr. Mark Winnetong while this song plays. My guests are Brendan Fletcher, director of Mad Bastards, Jack Bullman, of Mibinbar, who works with men's groups. Dr. Mark Wenatong, Public Health Medical Officer with NACHO, National Aboriginal Community Health Organisation. Mark, welcome to the program. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good, thanks. Tiger, how are you today, mate?
Very well, very well. Blue sky and sunshine, a few clouds, but you know, beautiful Brisbane. Where are you, Melbourne?
I'm in Canberra.
Oh, right. Quite the same there?
No, it's cloudy.
Is it?
Overcast, a bit grey, but it's warm, mate.
All right. Tell us your mob, your country.
Hey, Kabi Kabi, from just up the coast from you there. But had been living in Cairns, so working up in the Cape for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, and before that in Cairns at Wooch Opryn for 8 or 9 years, and now in Canberra, but back to Cairns again at the end of the year.
All right. Your role there at NACHO, Public Health Medical Officer, what's that role incorporate? What's that?
Look, it's kind of mostly giving policy advice around the best kind of approaches, clinical approaches and stuff like that to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health. So improving our mob's health, mostly at, primary healthcare level, so like GPs and Aboriginal medical services, but a bit around the hospital stuff and other stuff outside of that as well. And obviously for this morning around the men's health stuff particularly.
All right. The film Mad Bastards, we've been talking about Mad Bastards, the film, and how it's is being utilised, I suppose, with men's health. What are your thoughts? How do you see it?
Oh, look, it's been one of the best resources I think we've ever had to engage with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander males in Australia. So far, and I mean that sincerely, it's when we first saw it in Cairns, a couple of other people up there and Al Harris, we had a conversation about it and contacted Brendan and the others that made the movie, The Pigrams, and it's picked up momentum since then. And the main reason was because it really does resonate with reality of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men. And it captures all those issues that we think are really important. And has fantastic people like Dean in the movie who, in real life, is doing this stuff, you know, working with his own mob.
Doesn't he play the part well, Dean?
Amazing, eh?
Yes,
amazing
for sure.
All these Aboriginal actors, eh? And actresses, fantastic.
They are fantastic. And explain to people. We probably have a mob of listeners, our mob, and other Australians. We probably haven't seen the film. What is it about the film that makes it so valuable, such a valuable resource when we're talking about men's issues and men's health? Mark, if you would.
Okay.
And we'll go across to, well, probably Brendan. Brendan made the thing. Tell us, Brendan to tell us that one.
It's a little hard for me to say, to be totally honest, Tiger, because I'm so close to it. I live the thing, but all I know is that, as Mark has already said, that it definitely, after every screening, we have people come up and often very moved and just say, it's like you knew my story, you know, and it seemed to resonate very closely with a lot of people. But I can say one thing, which is it was very important for us to make a film that had hope. And, you know, it can be tough out there. And I felt like we wanted to tell a story that was a tough story, but that could also show the capacity for people to change and transform and grow through their challenges. And I think that's, it's a tricky thing to achieve because you don't want to make a Hollywood ending where everything's happy ever after. And at the same time, you don't want to end people kind of going, oh, geez, man, I wouldn't mind my money back, you know. If I wanted to get depressed, there's other ways to do it than watch your movie. But, you know, we wanted to make it real. So I suppose a lot of the feedback I get from the film is people saying, firstly, it was very real and very moving. And secondly, thank you for making something that showed the positives of particularly Aboriginal men, because up until then, it's been very easy. You know, I felt, particularly as a white fella, you know, we hear so much negative stuff, you know. And I'd seen so many examples, you know, up in the Kimberley from my work up there, of great stories, powerful stories, meaningful stories of men doing, you know, kind of making great personal changes for their communities and for their families. So that was certainly a big part of why we made the film, and perhaps that's part of what people are connecting to. Maybe Jack or Mark might like to...
Jack.
Yeah, I'd love to have a...
You've just convened... Yeah, you've just convened or recently convened a national men's group, a men's gathering, and I imagine you showed the film and had some discussions. What makes it such a valuable resource? What is it in the film? What are those scenes in the film that make it, that people relate to, identify with, please?
I think both, as Mark and Brendan have said, you know, like, it is real. I mean, like, the first time I watched the movie, I've seen parts of it, you know, like the domestic violence part where, you know, like where Noah is cleaning up the blood and then she turns around. And it's not to be, I'm not talking about this in a negative way, but like I've seen that in my own life, you know, with that domestic violence side, and also, you know, like with the young fella, how deep, why is he setting fires, you know, like it's about looking deeper into why he's doing this, you know, like, and all these things sort of resonated with me. And look, I've seen the movie a dozen times since, and every time you still get that tear in your eye when you see these sort of things. But as Brendan said, and what we try and do at Mibumbar is create that glimmer of hope for our lads, you know, when they're down and out, you know, just to be able to have that one little bit of glimmer of hope goes a really long way. And then to celebrate what our lads are doing is really important as well. So getting rid of that negative stuff that appears in the media all the time. We never hear good time stories, and this sort of gives that glimmer of hope, the movie, you know. And also we've done a few screenings with a few men's groups now, and it's always like really good feedback, great movie, really, really real. And, you know, then we're able to work through the themes that are in the movies as workshops. So, I think that this resource that we've all worked on is going to be something not just for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander fellas, but for everyone, you know. It's just such an amazing thing that that is going to happen. It will happen with this resource that we've been working on.
Well, it certainly is applicable to the settler society, to the mainstream Australia. Domestic violence is certainly a serious issue right across society. It's not something that First Nations communities have a monopoly on. And, yes, they'd certainly do well to go and watch it. Mark, any comments?
So I just wanted to just add one other thing, because, like, as you mentioned, our national gathering down at Newcastle near Wollongong in September, and like, there was 95 fellas that attended over the 4 days, and like, Brendan was there for a little while, and we held a pilot session of being able to use the resource. And we had fellas there that were, you know, like, we had homeless fellas, and we had fellas like the likes of Mick Gooder, our social justice commissioner, there, all sitting in these groups and talking about, you know, different issues that arose in the film, you know, and how they relate to that. So, like, it was just absolutely fantastic to see fellas working together and coming up with solutions, you know.
Yeah, right. Yes, now, like you said, that young fella lighting fires, his dad's in jail, and he's a bit of a wild fella, and he's a bit mixed up seeing the situation take place around him, I suppose. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly it. We've got to look at why this young fella's doing it, you know. Like, he's not just a bad person. You know, there's reasons why you know, things like this are going through his head. You know, is it about getting attention of others? You know, so and it's not just his dad. You know, like in the movie, his mum, you know, she changes as well. But like to start with, you know, she's out on the charging up and these sort of things as well. You know, so it's about looking at looking after our next generation and seeing those relationships that unfold throughout the movie as well, you know. So
yeah. Mark, any comments on it?
Yeah, look, I think they've captured it really well. That movie is about, it's a journey of healing for our men, and it's a journey of hope for our men. And look, you know, I've just been going through this new national Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander suicide strategy that Menzies and Natcha are working on, or we've done some of the consultations around the country. And you know, look, the suicide rates in Aboriginal males, particularly from 25 to 29-year-old males, are pretty high. They're probably 3-4 times the rest of the population. And the things that we found from, you know, the work that's been done in Canada and other places with young Aboriginal men is that, you know, there's these things called cultural continuity and the ability to see yourself in the future or think of yourself in the future that are the kind of things that stop you from wanting to commit suicide. And these are the kind of resources that we need to get out to our communities so that our men can have a look at them. They can reestablish their relationships with their kids and stuff like that, or with their parents, with their brothers, etc. There's some real messages in this movie for women as well, and the interrelation between our women and our men and stuff like that. And but overall, it's a message of hope, and these are the kind of things that, you know, are really, really useful tools in addressing all of the issues that we have to deal with. And you don't actually have to be suicidal, depressed, or an alcoholic Aboriginal fella to get a lot out of this movie, because all of us are on a journey, and this is just one of those things that help us to get some clarity around that and to help us to move on a bit.
All right. The copper. Brendan, the bloke that played the policeman.
Greg Tate was his name, yeah.
Frank Tate.
Greg.
Greg Tate. He played a fantastic role. What was his story in real life? Was he spent time as a policeman? What was his story?
Great question, Tiger, because Greg's, I think, one of the sort of strongholds of that movie. He actually has been the Halls Creek policeman for 17 years. So he's lived and breathed that role of an Aboriginal copper for, you know, a couple of decades. But the interesting thing is, before that, he was a bona fide mad bastard. And in fact, you know,
that's why I asked the question, was he a bona fide mad bastard at the time or just recovered? But he's been a copper for 17 years.
Great story. But he's got an interesting story because, you know, he was getting locked up from the time he was in that sort of lock-up cycle since he was about 10 or 12 years old. And in fact, a few people in Broome had said to me that the last bloke to break out of Broome prison was Greg Tate. on record, and now he's the Halls Creek police officer. So, and I have hit him up about that, and he sort of smiles shyly and sort of says, "Well, maybe, you know." But so he's experienced, really, you know, kind of both sides in every sense, and he tells a fantastic story, which we tried to get into the movie, but it was just we just didn't have the time. But he tells a fantastic story about the moment when he decided to change, when he was about 22, 23 years old. Complete alcoholic, his wife had left him, she'd taken the kids, and he just went, I need to put my foot down and change my life. And he enrolled in the Army Reserves, trained with them for a couple of years, ended up getting a position as a police aide, and then working with the police service. And, you know, look, there's a whole other story about the police service, which is a different conversation. And Greg has just this year actually left the police for the first time in 17 years. But he doesn't.
Mate, there's our sound effects. I don't know whether you can hear them or not, but there's our sound effects. Huh? How's that?
Yeah.
Very timely. Thank you, guys.
That must be after you, Tiger.
Don't get telling too many stories.
I heard you were a bit of a mad bastard when you were younger.
Don't get telling too many stories outside of school.
I heard that too, Tiger.
All right. Now, that Greg Tate, mate, what a role. I mean, he's just fantastic. But everybody played a magical role. The young fella lighting the fires, I mean, his mum. Mm. his dad coming out of jail and going back and coming to see old mum who was really, really dirty on him and being in jail and stuff, you know. It's just so real, so real.
Tiger, just to interrupt there, sorry, just on Dean, who plays TJ, if you have a look at Redfern Now, you'll see him pop up in that. He's got a good role in Redfern Now on ABC Telly.
Oh, really?
And he's currently acting in another ABC show called Gods of Wheat Street, which will be out next year. So he's from a bloke that's never been in a movie before. He's, you know, he was in Toomala, which screened at the Cannes Film Festival, you know. So he's gone from never being in a movie. And, you know, when I met him, I literally had to bail him out a couple of times, you know. Like, I knew which seat in the pub to find him on, you know. That was my relationship with Dean before we started the film. So I'm so proud to see him kind of go from strength to strength. And he's also, you know, part of our Mad Bastards project. He uses this film inside Casuarina Prison with the mob in there. So it just tells you that this is not just a fairy tale. This can happen, you know.
Yeah, no, it's magical. Listen, let's take a quick break for a song and come back. I wanted to open up with Dr. Mark Wenatong and ask about policies, ask about men's health. Here we've got a valuable resource in the film and people like Jack Bullman and Mibinbar convening gatherings nationally for our mob. But the policy that supports some of the, or should be able to support these projects, Mark, can you tell us a little about the need for policy or what policy is around when we come back? Yeah, righto, mate. We'll be back in just a minute. I do need to send out a cheerio call to my two grandsons, 2 and 3 year old. They're over on Stratty with their dad. They drive around with him all day, helping him with his job. But these two big offsiders, Jindarkin and Jadari, they call Darkin and Dari for short. They're two of my grandsons, and they're tuning in, listening to pop. So they like to listen to the radio. I only see them every couple of weeks or once a month or so. So it's good to say good morning to my boys and stay strong and keep working with Dad. It's really good to see and to hear that you're helping Dad. So that's my Darkin and Dari, my big grandsons. Really good to hear from them. Mark, tell us about policy and the need for policy surrounding these issues.
Yeah, look, I mean, it sounds boring in that and like it's all just this political, you know, mumbo-jumbo stuff. But at the end of the day, what we want is better services for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men in our communities. But to do that, we have to organise that at a local level. And it might be through men's programs, through, you know, specific clinics. It might be through men's groups and a whole lot of other things, through Jack's group, through filmings of films like this and stuff like that. But all that needs somebody at the community level to organise it, to help set things up, whether it's a, you know, an after-hours clinic that our men can access, or, you know, specific one just in a men's place and things like that. So all those things require something that supports them to do that and some structure, and that's why policy is important, because it's our way of saying to government, look, these are the kind of things we need. Put that into something that'll allow us to be supported to do this kind of work. And so that's partly why we've been trying to push this kind of policy, so that one, we can get agreement from government. That's a really important thing, and that we put all this kind of evidence into it to say, you know, this is the way we need to approach Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men and our health. And the second bit is that once we get a policy in place, and we've been doing a fair bit of work of this, like a lot of Aboriginal and Torres Strait men across Australia have been doing work on this for a while now, and it was only recently that our work got put into the National Male Health Policy, only last year I think it was. And so what we were hoping for was more resources to flow from that, and more support for men's groups on the ground and programs for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men and stuff like that. So far, we haven't got that much. So that's the problem with policy, and you can kind of put it there, but it doesn't always mean that the politics is going to support that. As you've heard, you know, there is a problem with the stereotype of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men in Australia being seen as perpetrators only, and not as victims, and not as people on the receiving end of any of the bad stuff as well, and not as men who are promoting change in their communities. So all those other things are important as well. And but unfortunately, sometimes it's a stereotype that drives the politics. So what we're up against is we're trying to ensure that governments really take it seriously when we have resources like this that we can get out there, when we know that we can promote healing hope with our men, that that's supported right through all levels of government. And so that's the place of policy. We're getting bits and pieces of stuff, but it's nowhere near systematic enough to make a big difference on the ground yet.
All right. Well, we certainly can be making a difference on the ground by organising ourselves in communities, and this film and men's groups and stuff are all a part of that. Jack, tell us that scene in the film where the police officer, the policeman there, the copper, he's organised a men's meeting, and there's six or eight of them, and he's got the barbie on, and he's cooking a few snags and a few pieces of bread and stuff, and they're sitting around. After the eating's done, it comes time for the talking, but there ain't much talking happening there.
Look, that's everybody has a bit of a giggle at that one, especially fellas that are involved with men's groups, and you know, at how real that is too at times, you know. So it's about setting up that safe space so that lads can start to engage in what their concerns and issues are. So it really is about being able to set up that space, and until that space is there for fellas to feel safe, then you know, some of them won't have a yarn. So it really is. And we looked at doing that. You know, we talked about setting a safe space, you know, in this resource as well, and doing a working agreement so that everyone abides by the same rules and regulations as well. So there's some real stuff that's gone into it that, yeah, again, is real, but it takes time to develop as well.
Jack, how is the film used at your national gathering? Did you use it there? How did you use it? Are people sit down and watch the whole movie and then discuss it? Tell us how you use it.
I think we did a little bit different to what there was a first pilot showing at Gamarada Men's Group in Sydney a couple of weeks before that, and Brenda might be able to talk a little bit further on that. But I think they watched the movie and then went through a theme on the night. What we did was we, on our Sunday, as we always do at our camps, we have a bit of a greet and meet. And then what we do is everyone has a yarn, you know, and introduce themselves or reintroduces themselves. And then we set about doing our working agreement, which, you know, everyone has a say in, so that, you know, it's not about the facilitators. You know, if someone steps out of line, out of these rules and regulations, it's not about the facilitators dealing with. It's about the whole group. So everyone gets to have a say in what needs to be done for that occasion. So what we did was we actually watched the movie on the Sunday night and then come back on the Monday morning, and we had two fairly big groups with two facilitators in each group. And we just talked about, we went through this resource. It was probably a little bit different, as I say, to what Gamarada did. We think it worked quite well. I know Brendan was in our group. And, you know, like, again, we had lads that were, you know, like, there was, again, homeless lads that were in our group, right up to Mick Gooder, who was also in our group. And we actually worked through, and I think it was about for 2 hours, worked through. And we only got to have a yarn about one of these themes that we've picked out of the film, and that was about relationships.
All right. So you could be using a range of film, a range of the scenes from the same film for a number of different discussions and gatherings.
Yeah, look, absolutely. And look, and Brendan will probably be able to talk a little bit about that as well. But, you know, like, we've been working a group of about, I think it's 10, you know, like, with such great Aboriginal people like Mark Winnetong and Ken Zumlowski and Megan Megan Williams and Dr. Alex Brown as well, and other people like Brendan himself. He's been fantastic, and Al Harris, and let's not forget Anthony Stockdale and Christina Grant. They've just all been fantastic. It's just all been such a great. It's just been fantastic to be able to work together and, you know, like work together with these people and come up with something that we think is going to be fantastic. And the six themes we come up with were transformation, deciding to change, relationships, identity, and staying strong. So, you know, that's what we come up with. But, you know, like, again, as we say, you know, if you're following the guide, it is only a template. So you can pick other themes out of the movie and work with those as well, you know. So it's about actually, you know, there's a facilitator's guide for this and we think it works really well. And we want to hear, like, feedback from everyone, you know. So there's a facilitator's guide there, so it helps him, you know, if he's not an experienced fella. But if he is an experienced fella or girl, for that matter, they're able to, you know, facilitate it their way. And that might be different themes come up for different people.
Is that how did it actually come about then, those people that you just named, Anthony and Al Harris and people, how did it come about? Did they work with you or all work together to put this thing together?
Well, I'd like to take the credit for that, but I won't, because I know Mark Wenatong and Al Harris actually approached Brendan, and it was those three that actually, you know, come up with this idea. And, you know, look, I was a little bit sceptical to start with, but, like, we've had, I think, four or five face-to-face meetings over the year now, and it's just been an absolute pleasure. And, you know, It was about, like, working together to come up with this stuff. And it's just, like, everyone's respected for what they say. So, like, it didn't matter who you were. If you wanted to have a say, you were listened to. And, like, nothing, there's a no shame, you know, thing there, you know. So if you want to say something, you say it, you know. And that's what this group was about. And that's how I feel. And, like, I've just, been absolutely honoured to work with these fellas, so it was Mark and Al Harris that approached Brendan, so we've got those fellas all to thank for that. So
good one. All right, Mark, what was it that sort of drove you to seeing it? Well, how did you put the when did the penny drop, and how did you pull it together?
Look, you know, although I'd like to take the credit as well, it was more of a, you know, just a few things came together, and we were just, you know, we were really lucky that these guys had made such a fantastic film that was so real, and it just happened to be at a time when we needed to pull together some of the men's stuff, you know. And so but the key things were that you know, actually, a woman, my partner, told me about this movie. She'd gone and seen it at the movies. And one of the things we noticed was, and that's what we talked to Brendan about, was that, you know, lots of people had seen this movie even overseas, because it's got international awards or been at international film festivals and stuff like that. But getting it out to our mob, you know, was a harder bit. So lots of other people had seen it. So part of that conversation that we had, and correct me if I'm giving misinformation here, Brendan, but part of that talk that we had was around, well, how do we really get this to a target audience in Australia that's our mob? How do we make it accessible? And then, you know, how can we package this a bit better? So that, like, the stuff that Jack was talking about there, we kind of went, well, if we just show this movie at community men's groups, then what are we going to do once people open up and start thinking about things? You know, what supports have we got in place so that fellas can have a talk, have a yarn or whatever, you know, and get fella, you know, continue to have that conversation or to continue to work on stuff. So I was trying to put something around it as well that made it a bit of a structure that was both sustainable so that we could keep running this and useful for men, other than just that good feeling you get when you watch it, that it was more about, well, how do we capture that feeling and then help our men to work on their own lives, you know, based on some of the stuff that's shown in the film. So that's kind of how it came about from my perspective. But the Piggies and Brendan just did such a fantastic job of capturing the narrative of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander in Australia here.
So how do people actually get it? They get the full package, the facilitator support paperwork, the guide, the film and stuff like that. How can people, if people are listening, they think, well, we've got to have a look at this, you know. What do they do?
Brendan here, Tiger. Look, there's a website, madbastards.com.au, which you can register your information on and get in touch with us directly. And we'll be sending kits out from there. But we're also working very closely with Mark at Nacho. So if anyone has any link to a local Aboriginal medical service or health service, basically come next year, the plan is to filter the kit out through those organisations. So, if you're listening and you're just sitting there thinking, I'd like to, like to put my name down, then get onto our website, madbastards.com.au. But we're literally in the process at the moment, Tiger, of just sort of finishing off the photocopying and, getting the final kits together. And then the idea is that next year we sort of actually get it out there through these networks. And as I said, if you want to speak to your local health or medical service, if they can get in touch with Nacho. Is that fair to say, Mark? Is that a right, right way to frame it? Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, Brendan, I'm sure you didn't think that this would ever happen, didn't foresee that it could have another purpose, another use, another life. How do you feel?
Look, I've been moved to tears several times this year, and just hearing Jack and Mark today just talk with such passion about something that has taken many years of my life, and Alan, Stephen Pigram, or everyone who made the movie. You know, so many Aussie films, we all know that, they appear and they disappear in about 2 weeks, So it's fantastic this is going to have a life beyond the cinema. And I think, when we did the release last year, we got a release through Paramount Pictures, we thought, this is it, this is great. But the reality of a commercial release in Australia is that between Perth and Brisbane, we screened in about 5 cinemas, It didn't even screen in Alice Springs. Yeah. So it was a couple of cinemas in Perth, one in Broome, one in Darwin, and maybe 2 in Brisbane, and briefly in Cairns, I think. So you think about all the mob out there that wouldn't have a chance of seeing this film, So I'm just really thrilled that we can get it out there in a meaningful way, and as both Jack and Mark said, that we can provide a bit of backup to the movie as well, because I've seen people come out of the movie very affected and needing to talk to people. So we felt a responsibility to make sure that we don't just, put a movie out there and say, this is great, watch this, it'll change everything. Well, you got to watch out if that's what you think, So it's important that people have the follow-up and they have someone to talk to, and there's a bit of brother care there as well, So it's taken a good 18 months. The movie was released in middle of last year, so it's taken a while to get this together, but, good things take time, don't they?
They sure do. And you made reference to your uncle, Father Frank Fletcher. Mate, he brings back some fond memories of good yarns and discussions with that old man. It's really great to hear that he's still around and writing a book and stuff. It's fantastic to hear, because he was a strong advocate, and still is. He would still be till the day he leaves us. A strong advocate for our mob, It's really good to hear. But you're his nephew. That old man's still around. I've got good memories of him. So
thanks
you for
Tiger.
That. And,
Can I just say one thing, Tiger?
Yeah.
We've actually got a screening of Mad Bastards next Thursday night, the 15th, at the Lowitch Institute Congress at 7 o'clock in Carlton. So if anyone is down that way and wants to get along and have a look at the movie, and then there's a question and answer session after with some of the people that made the resource. So
that's at the Lowitch Institute, Carlton, Melbourne.
Yes.
Yeah.
Next Thursday night.
Next Thursday night. What time?
7 o'clock. On the 15th. Yeah.
No worries. Thanks a lot for that, Jack. Thank you for your contribution this morning. Thank you, Mark, for joining us. It's
no worries.
Great discussion, great yarn, a fantastic project. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All have a good day.
Everybody. Bye.
Thank you.
See ya.
And that's the guys there that are joined us, and we've got a caller on the line. Hello.
Good morning, Tiger.
Who have we got?
Hi, Dave, mate. How are you?
I'm well, mate. I'm well. What would you like to say?
I'm just wondering whether that movie, I haven't seen the movie, whether the movie's available through any video release shops or anything like that, where we could get a copy of the video to watch.
Yeah, ask them, can they get it in? Mad Bastards is the name of it. I have seen it in video shops, so
okay.
Yeah, mate, it's well worth
a
watch.
I'll hunt it up.
Good on you, buddy.
It's like a good movie to watch.
It's a ripper, don't worry, it's a ripper.
All right. Have a good day then, thanks. Sorry.
You too, mate, thanks for your call.
Okay,
have a good one.
Bye-bye.
The movie Mad Bastards, if anybody wants to follow that up and those resources or that resource for men's groups meetings and men's health business, it's madbastards.com.au. You can get that up on your website and have a look. If you need to try and talk to somebody, Jack Bullman down there at Mimba is a good one to call as well. I'm not sure whether I've got, I think I do have Jack's number somewhere. But he's a good one down there as well for Jack Bullman. You can call him at Mibinba. The office number is, no, I don't have it. That's all right, you can call the station. We'll get it for you. Time for me to move along. You have a great day. I'm back tomorrow with Let's Talk. Make sure you join us on your First Nation station.